watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Do not adjust your dial. This is not your regularly scheduled program for Chaos Springs Eternal. I mean, it is at the regular scheduled time. It's just not the regular scheduled episode because I'm on spring break and didn't want to rush everything and force everything. So I was like, I still want to release something for the people, for the fans. They've been clamoring. And so they've been ravenous. And so, decided to loop in Tyler here for a little, what's called a little post-credits episode.
Yeah, a little post-credits or like a episode 30 whatever, 0.5.
Yes, episode 34.5. So
the Hawk.
We're just gonna 34.5 the Hawk. It's just hitting all the peaks right off the bat. This will be fun to level. Anyways, I just thought, I do want to have a little scene here that didn't. I mean, we could have stuffed it into the last episode, but this sort of, we've already recorded 35 and 36, and in that we retroactively decided some things, and I was like, oh, well, maybe we should just record that scene. Hopefully this is good. I don't know if this is going to be anything. I mean, I think it's going to be good because I'll try and do my best to add a little, lore drop for some people. And, so we're just picking up, and Glomus is sitting in the passenger seat of Joel's car after having climbed in through the driver's side over the central pillar. I had to, it's funny. I had to do this the other day at work. Someone parked so close to my truck that I could not open the truck door enough to get in. And I mean, I'm a big guy, but had I been even like a kid, I could not have gotten in. So what I wound up having to do was recline. Oh, dude, it was a Tesla. So I was like, don't things have cameras recording everything? I can't even get my just revenge. I had to climb in, lay back the driver's side seat as much as I could, lay back the passenger side. I think I scooted the passengers all the way forward. And then I got in through the back passenger side and then climbed in feet first into the front. Oh my gosh, it was painful. I strained my neck doing it.
I had a vibe that I literally had for 2 days that the front passenger door didn't open. So anyone who had to get in had to go in through the back.
Gosh.
And there was no window in that door. So one of my friends went in through it like he was Bo Duke from Dukes of Hazzard. And then awkwardly climbed up to the front.
Dude, that's, that's fun car stuff. Anyways, I did get in my truck. I seriously, there was a moment there, though, where I thought I would not be able to, but just imagine Glomus, although he is not it's a good thing that he's not his 9 foot tall, Google form. He's just his, I don't know, like 5'10" normal human form. I've posted pictures of him in our Discord before. Maybe I'll toss that up. I'll toss that up on the Twitter, but I actually don't want to toss it up necessarily because it is a real photo of a real historical person. That might run into some. Although, as far as I can tell, and this isn't giving anything away, this might be the only photo of this person that exists. I got sufficiently obscure for this person. So anyway, so Glomus is no boy. It's well, this will, you know, it's who. Well, I'm not going to say anything else. Anyway, so Glomus is sitting on the passenger seat, and I think he's like fiddling with some of like the vents and stuff. He doesn't drive in cars often, so this is what he does.
Yeah, Joel has the radio on, just cruising, not thinking much of it. And I imagine at one point he pushes it just a little too far, and he's like,
"Oh, sorry." And he reaches over and turns like the air recirculator off. He's like, "Is that what you wanted? What do these do, by the way? Do you know? I know you work with cars, but I don't know if you're like a. I think that you mostly, from what I can tell, and this is not meant to be insulting, you mostly replace tires."
I mean, that is most of the job, yes, but I do know a bit. What are you asking? What do the vents?
This button specifically.
The research? It filters air through the cabin instead of pulling air out from the outside, so that if you are trying to keep the temperature relatively cool or warm, depending on the time of year, you push that button and it uses less energy to keep it at that temperature.
Yeah, you know,
we've done some crazy shit.
He gets like kind of this wistful look in his eyes. What's your you said you have roll 20 up, right? What's your humint?
My humint is a solid 52 right now.
Oh, 52 is good enough. You see him look wistfully and almost with like what you would recognize as nostalgia as he thinks about that. He says, "It's quite remarkable. I just, you know, I've been here for a while and I can't remember the last car. I mean, the last car I drove in was Cyril's, but before that, it's been a long time since I've been in a car.
Are we talking 80s? 70s?
Oh, I think 50s. I think he gets like a real kind of strained look. He's like, I can't remember the name of it, but yes, I drove a big car, and it didn't have air conditioning. I know that because we had to drive with the windows down.
That was a little pre-air conditioning. You had to get those extra if you wanted them back then. They were a giant unit. Strapped them right up top, and he points like right to the window where it would sit on those old 50s. They look like jet turbines on the side of the car. They were very impractical and actually worth kind of a lot of money if you still have them.
No. Fortunately, I don't think it was my car. I think I used the car to come here. I have these fleeting memories of life, especially in the early days. But I think I was a chemist.
Chemist. Okay. I mean, that kind of lines up, I guess, with the lab you have under the manor.
Yes. That's something I put together as well. It just, I mean, some of that chemistry has just come from tomes that I've pulled up, you know, alchemical texts and that sort of thing. But some of it just does seem to come naturally. Things that I just seem to understand. And I don't know. It's even among the ghouls, I'm a little strange. So I've always felt a bit of an outsider. And literally, in this case, where I, even among the ghouls in Care 4, I'm an outsider. But among the ghouls in the wider world, the Care 4 ghouls are outsiders to them.
So, an outcast from an outcast.
Yes, I wouldn't say outcast might be taking it too far. But, I don't know, do you ever get the feeling when you're around people that they like you, but they don't like being around you?
Fucking do I.
Yes, that is the feeling that I get, and so I'll be honest, this is more contact. I've had more contact with the Phantom Finders than I've had with the other ghouls in the past. Oh, this is far too long.
We can make you a little bit of an honorary badge if you really want it. I'm willing. You know what? You've scratched my back. I'll make sure you get a Phantom Finder badge before the end of all this.
Now, Joel, you know I know a little bit about everyone. I know that you don't have official badges.
I can start.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, you don't have to do that for me. Just being a part of something feels good.
It does. It does feel good. Kind of the whole... My whole reason of joining anything is to feel important, I guess. So, I mean, I don't think our motives are too separate in that case, I guess, or our desires.
Yes, well, that much is true. That much is true. And then he sort of takes a big breath and cranks the... cranks the seat all the way back and, like, lays uncomfortably far back. He's just got sort of his hands on his chest, and it's like, oh.
Hey, you know if the cop sees you doing that, I'm going to get pulled over, right?
I wouldn't worry about that. I don't think that they're paying much attention to us.
Fair, yeah. Yeah.
I tend to have that effect on people.
I wish I could say the same. Joel will ask him, like, very upfront. Listen, I know you're a bit of an old-timer, clearly. Driving a car from the 50s. But do you know how to use a phone?
Yes. I've used phones before. Yeah, of course.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to get you a phone.
Oh. Well, okay. All right.
It'd be easier than us having to drive all the way out to the Florizon whenever we need to talk to you, or vice versa. Just maybe it'll let you branch out and meet some other new people too.
Perhaps, although I do want to remind you that my existence should be kept relatively under wraps. Even this foray was quite strange and unusual and disturbing, and I'd like to not repeat it if possible.
No, yeah, of course, no, but I'm saying there's a lot of people coming into Carrefour right now that no one recognizes. I think this is a perfect time to have a little fun, don't you think?
That's actually incredibly disturbing to know. But yes, I suppose if any time, maybe now.
You didn't know?
I anticipated that that might be an effect, although I've not been in town lately. I've been too busy working at the manor. Actually, getting fairly close. The progress is going well on the protective circle. So, as soon as that is done, I can cast it and we'll throw back up the protective ward, and well, Carrefour should be safe again,
relatively at least.
Yes, it will be difficult to erase any memories that have been created of Carrefour's notoriety in the time between when the ward has been down, but it should deter significantly. So, but a phone, yes. I could use a phone. I didn't tell you this, but I have managed to run some electricity down into my laboratory, so don't tell the power company, but one advantage of being basically unkillable is that I can work around high voltage wires with much more ease than the average person.
Chalk it up to another one of the many benefits of being a ghoul, I guess.
When you say that, he definitely, you notice him get a little quieter and downcast.
I'm sorry. That was a little out of taste?
It's... Perhaps I should not be sensitive to it at this point, but did you hear what he said? I know what you are, when he was talking to me. Not who you are, what you are.
What?
I sometimes wonder if the ghoulish aspect has taken over the human aspect. I've I've tried for a long time to maintain a balance, but... well, if you have nothing to weigh it against, then what sort of balance are you really striking?
Glumas, if I may be so upfront for a second, and Joel will pull in to the parking lot of the Radio Shack in town.
yes. The last one.
The last one. And he'll say, we've only known each other for a few days, but you're not that, I mean, aside from the obvious, you're not much different than Cyril or Marcy or Clementine or I mean, yeah, you know some crazy fucking wackadoodle shit, and you can kind of do the cool transformation thing. Other than that, you seem as normal as the four of us.
Well, Joel, that might be the kindest thing anyone said to me in more than a decade.
I mean, the bar's got to be pretty low, though, right?
The bar is underground, for sure. Literally, that most schools live underground. So,
fair. I just hope that it helps bring back something of whatever it was that you were before. Brings back Big G the chemist and not Big G the wolf man.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So as you get out of the car and go to purchase, you know, burner phone, he's just sort of standing there. He's just sitting in the passenger seat, adjusting the seat to just where he would like. For the first time that we've seen him in any of his forms, you see a slight smile across Glomus's face. And I think that's where we'll wrap up this little scene. So, thanks for tuning in. This is a little fun little, you know, interlude type of scene. So, wanted to, you know, explain the Glomus back and forth and maybe make it easier on the players so that they don't have to drive all the way out to floors on every time they want to talk to Glomus.
Yeah, I think also the funny thing is when we're recording what will be the episode posted after this one, I think we both, like, three of us all went, fuck, we forgot to get Glomus a phone. Like, all at the same time. So this is significantly easier than being like, all right, well, Joel's going to take the next hour driving out to some shithole and then having to come back.
This is the proactive retcon. So thanks for tuning in this week, and tune in. I think we'll have a full episode next week, assuming I'm able to get all the edits and stuff done. But if not, then maybe we'll do another one of these. We'll see. All right. Bye.
Bye.